Blog Talk Radio.
But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Keri Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections. That I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Keri Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Keri Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Keri Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Keri
Hines. I'm Vaughn of Asway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Keri Hines.
Seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Understanding the importance of public relations as it pertains to you guys out there who are entrepreneurs like myself. I'm Carrie Hines, and when I started focusing in on this industry, oh, pretty close to 30 years ago, I knew that it was very important to gain exposure. And most folks who embark upon an entrepreneurial type journey or career probably or maybe not understand what public relations is all about and how it's an important stepping stone for anybody in business. My book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business, really, really speaks to this. It covers every area of understanding everything, and we're celebrating the information that's in the book. Big anniversary for it, so I'm real excited about it. It's out there on Amazon, in case you're interested. Again, it's How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. But again, the PR, which is what public relations is referred to, is really where you are taking your message for your business, your product, whatever it is that you've got going on that you're looking to increase sales or bring awareness to. What you want to do, the very, very first step engaging the public's interest in what you have is to create the understanding of how it's beneficial to the folks you're trying to reach. So just wanted to begin this talk, as we kind of, again, look at all of the different aspects of trying to get your business going here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I think this is a great way for folks to, you know, begin looking at how to connect with folks. That's what public relations is all about, and there's so much more to PR, and this is how you begin, again, how to get rich in the hair business and so many other different ways.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child.
And tell me who
Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with The Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest with us is Ms. Cheryl Morrow. Now, she is just a legendary hair industry specialist, and we're going to find out why. Cheryl, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Carrie. So good to be here with you.
Yes, yes.
An old friend.
It has been a very long time, and we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Okay. I want to start with just first of all, you're out in sunny San Diego area, and Cheryl, I have to say, let's bring everybody up to speed, because I've known you for a couple decades easily.
Yes.
So we're going to just introduce you to our wonderful listeners out there and reintroduce you to some, because you've been with us so long that some of our I'm going to say old-time listeners, but some of our original listeners to the Hair Radio Show certainly know who you are. So we're gonna just go back and let's establish that with everybody first. Now, you are you're a known hairstylist.
Yes.
You're also a chemist.
Yes.
You've run shops. You
yes.
educate. I consider you to be hair royalty, and that is being the daughter of the great Willie Morrow. And he's a hair industry pioneer.
Yes.
And you guys know, was it 100 years without a comb, was it?
I wish it was 100, but it's
400 years. I'm sorry. Was it 400? Am I right? I mean, this is going from my memory. It was a while ago, but I remember this documentary. Now, you've got to tell us.
Do we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What? No, you go ahead, please.
Yeah, it's 4 centuries, which is a long
wow.
time.
Wow.
But it's
that is 400. Yeah.
That part. Mr. Morrow is a young 75 years old, and
shout outs, yeah, absolutely,
very bright, vibrant, but he is now embarking on trying to really do a guide, so he's going to be walking everyone through the 4 centuries of more of the really intrinsic information about specific things and artifacts, why we created them, how what we invented, how we invented them, and just really deep stuff of that nature. I mean, just really getting into explaining how, just the ingenuity of some of the artifacts and tools and relationships, too. That's very important. He's going to explain how his relationship and Mr. Bronner came about and his relationship with John Johnson and George Johnson and all the others. So it's going to be a project. So he's busy doing that. So he actually is in the next office across from me, by the way.
Well, let me tell you, he's such a wonderful resource, of course. I certainly remember having a wonderful opportunity and just luck to be able to, thanks to you, of course, to interview him decades ago as well,
uh-huh.
and just to be such an innovator, and I know he was doing so much, and just always literally in the middle of the hair industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just love it, and I'm so grateful. And then to know here you are, okay?
Right in the middle of it.
I mean,
right
you are truly, yes.
What we're doing now is we are trying to really I think how we deal with things in today's internet, because the last time I think we were really talking to each other and we were in each other's presence, Carrie, was there was no social media.
No, I'm about to say there was no, and social media was nowhere in sight,
right.
Not that I could recall.
And let me just say this, and we already had some challenges with myths and issues of misinformation and bad information. So
uh-huh.
one of the things that we love to I want to start with talking about what we're actually doing now.
Yes, please.
Presenting the Curl Academy in terms of allowing African-American beauty enthusiasts, no matter what, they're beauty editors and bloggers and content writers or just general consumer laymen who are just enthusiasts about hair care and beauty and personal care, to be able to obtain real and scientific lab research, research team, very sound data and technology that they can really base that is factual and has been researched and studied. And they can have that information as well as, of course, put the cosmetologists and the barber stylists and people of professional with certificates and licenses and things of that nature. So they also can reap the benefits of that sound, real ground level entry to what lab and manufacturing, production, science, technology. How does that all work in the beauty world? We also offer elevation. We also offer, there's one wonderful success story. And just to give you an example, there's a barber stylist who wanted to elevate into beauty litigation. So now he consults lawyers on beauty lawsuits. But he came to the Carl Academy to get that particular training.
Wow.
He also does that. It's just an exciting new university, new pool of information, Carrie, just representing. This is the new ethnic hair care school.
Wow.
I like it, like the new school in New York City.
Yes.
It's the new paradigm shift. It's the new consciousness. And it's exciting. I mean, I have spoken to people all over, and they're just as excited that we're going to get a fresh perspective.
Well, it sounds like it, yes. Now, you've got to tell everybody, how did this come about with the Curl Academy?
I had a reoccurring, people would call me, people would also, and I basically, Carrie, got disenfranchised and I don't want to say tired, but it just the one-on-one everyday phone call from people who just really upset or really just and then bloggers having these really great arguments. I mean, really bad arguments. I wouldn't say great arguments. that's a misnomer, right?
Correct.
But just these arguments about what is right, what is not right, having these really top hair care celebrities and all these people, I mean, just saying the weirdest things about what is true and what is not true and what goes on. And I'm saying, wow, we really have got to get on the same page with a couple of a set of truths. And we can... After we get on that page with those set of truths, Carrie, we can bring our own light and our own twist to it. But we do have to have, you know, I mean, United States works from a constitution. Then you can twist everything else and put your own juice on it. But you have to start with a constitution. And you have to start with some framework and something that remains to be true no matter what trend and era and genre, no matter what, you know. It always stays the same. The scientific facts stay the same. So that was my purpose of starting the Curl Academy.
And how has it been received so far, Cheryl?
By consumers, fabulous. By the natural hair care community, weird.
Uh-oh, you've got to explain it.
Standoffish.
Wow.
And that's as honest as I can be. And let me just say this. I understand, though. I mean, you and I have talked about that many times, but I understand it because this is fresh, new information that has always been there because Mr. Marl has written scientific data on Afro textures by racial textures since 1961. So it's always been there, but
Please tell us. Yes, well, we can't let you. Now, you know, I understand, but we're going to fill in our wonderful listeners. Tell us why you think that's the case, though, why it's been received in these areas. And you said it, you know, weird, and, so you've got all these folks out there probably waiting to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll explain the weird, why I say weird.
Okay.
I'm going to explain that because when we originally, you and I met, and we
mm-hmm.
talked about the challenges from that perspective, we
mm-hmm.
did not have the internet.
No, it was a completely different world.
Right, of research. And
right.
the problem is that the research that is on the internet is not, I repeat, is not, though it is written by black people, or it could be written by people of color, or it can be written by the pen of a black person, the root intelligence that it's from is always from the traditional cosmetology. And because Afro textures, in all of its variations, all of its textures, colors, all of its variations, does not come from the curly perspective. It comes from its opposite, which is the straight perspective. It is always spoken in terms of its opposite. So the information that's ascertained that they're using on the internet, though it may be on a black white website or a black website or a Latin website, it doesn't make a difference, or a Dominican or a Puerto Rican, it doesn't matter. It is still entrenched, drenched, submerged from the standard white cosmetology reference metric system. It's measured up against that. So when they begin to hear the Curl Academy and begin to hear something that is not even born, it's completely in a whole other stratosphere, a whole other planet, and it's coming from an Afrocentric perspective, then it takes a minute for it to sink in. I don't think they particularly reject it, but it is most times when I speak to them and they call me, I have to, you know, there's this whole dead silence, you know, and it's the weirdest thing, Carrie. So, you know, they embrace it, but it is, it's not fear. It's just, I think, a real big whoa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing.
It sounds like it is a good thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a bad thing. I think it's ethnic beauty, regardless of what nationality they are. They could be from Costa Rica. It doesn't make a difference. To hear something exclusively about you that doesn't have the dominant power structure in it is a weird experience.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. When you just have you in it, and it's not in a response, it's not negative or positive, it just is, and it's about you, and it's the first time you've heard it, and you're, and it takes a minute.
I have to say, Cheryl, yes, this is quite amazing. It really is. You've got to tell everybody. Now, I seem to remember that you were also doing a lot of work in the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And have you worked on anything, come up with anything recently, in recent times, or
Carrie,
want to talk about that?
Yeah. Do you have to ask? I mean,
well, see, I really know the answers to all these because I know that you are just putting it down and you're always creating. You know, that's why everybody knows you and everybody loves all that you are doing in your work, because we know what you're doing and we know how hard you're working. But for those one or two out there, we're going to educate them right now.
Right. It's a wonderful experience that happened yesterday, because one of those, of course, there we go again with those great debates that we love to have.
Yes.
And I love the great debate. I love the natural versus curly and the natural versus traditional and the long versus good hair and bad hair and all the
cultural
corporate what to do and what not to do and how to look at it and the political and socialism and cultural.
Well, you know, I hear less today, Cheryl, of the, remember back when it was always, I think the big thing back when I started the Hair Radio Show in 1995,
yes.
I think I used to hear about good hair versus bad hair. I think that was the talk of the day.
And yeah, it was. And it still is.
It was the talk of the day. Yeah, that was definitely.
Now the problem is, and here ends, because this is good, I'm going to answer your other question, too, about the technology.
Sure.
But let me just go back here, if I can digress a bit. The bad hair, good hair is not a problem. Good hair is we have to, we can't fix that part of the conversation until we go in into our everyone's connection to bad hair. And how do we examine that? And see, in one of the lectures, which I hope I have the opportunity to partner with you, and I come out there and we do a whole big a lecture on.
Well, I would love that.
Actually get the debate right, because actually what we would do is I would love to get one big debate. We're going to lock the door, several hundred of the best minds in beauty. We're going to lock the door, and we're going to get that one conversation right.
Wow.
And all of us is going to get on social media after we leave, and we're going to straighten it out, right?
I love that.
I can partner with them. And Brooklyn is the best place to do it, by the way.
Well, you know, we are here, and we are ready.
So, but let me explain this. But when, by the time I break it down, the Curl Academy breaks this down, you would never say it again, because we not only fix the talk part, the word part, we get the language recorrected, we get the pictures recorrected, we get the mental pictures reconnected, we recorrect the emotional connection to it, the cultural context connection to it, we rewrite the narrative, and we dispel the myth, we kill the beast, and we don't talk about it again. And because that has not happened, that's the problem. We keep talking about it with people who are laymen who don't really know how to create this corrective coherence, because we keep having this cognitive dissonance with it, Carrie, and we keep going back and forth, and we just keep allowing people. We have to, and then one of the good things about the hair radio that I've seen is the reason why it's so useful, because it has to bring some integrity to the dialogue.
Thank you.
So we won't keep saying things, and then once we say things and it gets out into the general populace, it becomes extremely dangerous. You know, words become extremely dangerous. So I hope to, when we can further discuss be coming to Brooklyn and really be happy.
Oh, absolutely.
It's actually what they call the great debate. We can really hash it out.
I would love that.
And in fact, let's just invite all the top dogs, because the whole point of the matter is our and we can talk about this later, but our health and our collective immune system depends on it.
I totally agree. And I've got to let everybody know, you have just, you know, here in New York, and you, because you've been out here for quite a bit. You stayed out here in New York.
Yes,
I mean, that's a long, long, long time. And so I feel like you're still a part of the family here.
Well,
I know you're 3,000 miles away, but we feel like you're still with us. Yes, you know.
New Yorker. I'm a Cali girl on top of it.
Which is unusual. You really do. You combine
people can hear the accent of both coasts.
The
people out here can tell that I'm not from here. And then when I'm there in New York, people say I'm not from there.
They say, exactly, yeah. Well, you have that certain something, and you've always had it. I've known you for a long time. You've always had that. And that is just amazing. And you've been able to, you know, really educate quite a bit. We've done workshops and things like that in the past, and they've gone over incredibly well.
Yes.
You know, you come out and you really do your thing. And we have some great folks that we will be organizing this. Now, in February is the big event that we're having, which is our Hair Nation Expo. So that's 3 days here in Harlem on 125th.
Whoa.
So, yeah, so we're doing 3 days of that, and we want you to be here for that.
Oh, yeah.
We can't do a hair event without you being here to talk to the folks, you know, in Harlem. Your old neighborhood, we're going to say. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, no, you're right. I spent 19 years in Harlem.
Oh, yeah. So you know the folks.
Yeah, it's and I miss it. And I know that everyone tells me that it's different. But I'm going to go back to that question because I'm a teacher, so I always remember a question.
Very well. Go right ahead.
But to go back into the technology, what we're working on now, we got present the new technology live with you there in New York City. Because to present new technology, you have to be in people's faces. Just like Steve Jobs, when he was introducing the iPhone and the iPad or the OS 10, you have to be in people's faces.
Yes.
People have to see you. And
that's right.
It's easy to it's one thing to do it over email, it's one thing to do it over the phone, but or even in a radio media, but to really be there.
That's face to face.
Right, to get the technology in your hand, to get the green jar, as I call it, because I actually literally do have a green jar. It's a sample jar of all the technologies in the small little quantities, and you get this eco jar called the green jar. And we've got three technologies, of course.
Okay, because when you say the
California
green jar, I'm thinking that's the money jar. But
yeah,
no, you mean a different
way. Well, I never
thought
about
different.
It like that.
It's a different way to look at it.
That's California Green. Number two is Curls in HD, which is a phenomenal technology. And we've got HR, which is high resolution, and this is a relaxer that is 99% chemical free, but it's a very sophisticated technology because most women, and I'm going to say this, and I want you to actually you give me your feedback on this.
Sure.
Most women who came out or are in the natural transitional or want to be natural who wore relaxers for years. I am finding, as we study their in a poll, that they are anti-relaxer more than they are pro-natural.
Please explain that, because we've always thought it was one and the same.
No, not quite.
All right.
And when you go in, you know, when you go and deal with culture. Straight hair is not foreign to African black people, only because there is straight hair in Africa without any mixing. It's just a fact. Curly hair people creates straight hair. So our love or like or affinity for straight hair is not, it is 50% because of racism, obviously, and because of the other issues, cultural issues, socio-political issues, but our connection to straight hair is also anthropologic. So the point is that once I present a technology that deals with our connection to straight hair is should not be just connected to us wanting to fit in or the stereotypical experience, but we should be able to have ultra transition, texture transition, and some women should want to wear their hair straight all the time. It is convenient. It is pretty. It is multi-stylable. It is a lot of things. But this technology allows you to be able to wear and still have both without the damage or without the deterioration or having to give up your curl S pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But it does allow you to be sophisticated and for you to want to wear your hair straight all the time without any compromising or putting the curl pattern in jeopardy.
So amazing.
In response to that, being pro-natural, then you don't want to do anything to the texture. Most, we find this, the women that fit in this category, they are worried about being safe. It's more about health than it is about a cosmetic choice to be natural, making a socio-political statement of their blackness. They don't really care about that. They understand that, you know, I'm black regardless of what, you know, it's almost like an African who has blonde straight hair in maybe the sub-Sahara, who's never mixed, doesn't have European blood, but somehow African people, all the most diverse continent on the planet, has straight hair in it. So here we go again, if we can get those paradigms shifted, then we can enjoy the multitude of what the dominant curly tight hair type we call Afro texture allows us to do. It allows us to do a plethora of things to it as long as we keep it safe. And that's the zone we want to be in the future.
Wow. Well, I have to say, Cheryl, and let me just remind everybody out there, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest that you've been listening to is Miss Cheryl Morrow. And Cheryl, you are a stylist, you are a hair educator, you are a chemist for the industry, you are hair royalty, the daughter of the legendary Willie Morrow. What can you say about where the industry is now compared to when we chatted last? Which probably was a long time ago, but what can you say? Did you ever think the industry was going to get to this point where there would be a huge explosion in terms of healthy hair being a big part of the conversation? Did you ever think that?
When you are involved in the technological part and the scientific part, creating things, bringing people forward, finding new creative minds and inventors and surrounding yourself around the ones who create and produce. Yeah, you kind of see where it's going. But let me just go here. I think the issue, the number one issue is we've become an OTC industry. And that's over the counter, and we have not been, and once you're over the counter driven, that means you've stopped technologically advancing. Number two, that means that OTC, that means that anyone can, and anyone can should. But we know in a world of sophistication, highly productive, and a level that is generating, let's say, for example, the computer world. So Silicon Valley produces at a very high level. There's a certain excellence there, high performance. You know, so if we are not doing that and we've become an OTC industry, that opened up the floodgates for what we call mixologists, which are now what the leading chemist is. They're making things, they're making juice, they're making cocktails, and they're making mud pies, and it's called the kitchen. And black hair care, just in its history, its legacy is not rooted in the kitchen at all. It's very workshop, very laboratory. You know, very George Washington Carver and Austin Curtis, one of the great lab teams, in the history of beauty. You know, these, Mr. Morrow, these are lab people. So we don't have a history in the kitchen. So for the ultimate lack of creating, even connecting to STEM people, connecting to our engineers, connecting to our MBAs, this is the only commerce Black America has shared alone for several generations. And now we act like we can't make anything. So when you don't participate in that Silicon Valley kind of production and behavior, so unfortunate, you have things that happen to companies that start out that way. They're not sustainable. So they end up getting acquired, and then they unfortunately disappear. And unfortunately, I think that's what happened to Carol's daughter. There's just not enough intelligence there to create sustainability. Hope they are in rebuilding stage, but we don't.
They've been taken over by L'Oreal, I believe. Weren't they bought out by L'Oreal?
Yeah, but think about it. That's the point. Someone, a company. Think about it. It's not that old. It's not a company that old, and for it to have been unsustainable, and no stability this quick.
Well, we certainly remember when they got started.
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the point is that for us to understand and to have a think tank like yourself and to bring other people back, what happened so we can prevent it? So as we rebuild, and that's one of the reasons why I built the Curl Academy, for us to be able to have that talking space to create a real strong intelligentsia, to be able to critically analyze the data, and for us to strategize and shapeshift to the data, the correct data. So we can begin to solve our problems and go back and take an honest look at what happened. And I'll make a reference right here to the Korean story, which is very sad because it never happened. But that's what happens when we get on a bad narrative. We just keep making it up, and it keeps steamrolling on down the hill, and then we find ourselves in a very weird place. And then I find myself with you asking me the question, why are we here? Well, we're here
right.
in a combination of things, but we have to be able to back into it, unravel it, critically analyze it, tell the truth, actually what happened. Because, you know, some of the people who were there are still alive. They know that narrative is definitely wrong, didn't happen. And what actually did happen. So that is why it's very frustrating to hear a person in present day say, quote, unquote, I did the research. And I'm saying, oh, my God, the research is bad intelligence. That's the problem.
Right.
They say,
garbage in, garbage out.
Right. We have to start all over. And that is why, you know, that's why I'm going on tour and traveling and trying to make sure that we can have honest dialogue. And because, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I know where the bodies are buried.
I hear you. Well, you know what? I've always wanted to ask you this, especially in recent times,
mm-hmm.
where you talk quite a bit about technology. And through the Curl Academy, which is fantastic. But what do you say, speaking of technology, when you look on YouTube, if you will, and you see what they call the DIYers, the do-it-yourselfers out there,
mm-hmm.
And because of all of that misinformation that has funneled its way for years, do you have any advice to the do-it-yourselfers? Is there something you can say to... Kind of.
I applaud the effort. I mean, I really do. Mm. Let me just say this. The reason why I applaud the effort is because I am a former hairstylist. I am a former professional. I am retired. And the reason why I applaud their effort, because we failed them. They're doing, they are in survival. And one of the issues that we talk about in the Curl Academy, when I go into, there's a lecture I have called Heart Cosmetology, Carrie, which is a very fascinating lecture, but it also goes back into where the core of how an extremely profitable industry starts to fall, and what is the nature of falling giants? How do they fall? And one of the root is what we call mistrust. And the professional brokerage of the professional, the hairstylists, the smart ones, the real, the ones who are educated, the ones who are exposed, the ones who are, you know. So they, what happens is that I guess what, how I can say it is, sorry about that. I lost my train of thought.
That's all right.
But, I think it's, we let them down, I guess. And I think to simply say that, we just let them down. So whatever they're doing is in response to that. They're just responding. And Curly Nikki and all the other bloggers and all the other websites and all the do-it, you know, the DIYs, as you would say, call them, they're responding. That may not be, it may not be correct, and it may not serve as a basis to build a stronger industry. It is not, it's not appropriate for data keeping. It's just a people responding to the professional rankers, the body that's entrusted, and that contract, that social contract, Carrie, was broken a long time ago, was violated. So what consumers do is they respond. And so I don't get upset when they say crazy things. I don't get upset when professionals say things that are
that are just not right.
Right.
I
think
you.
I have graduated into the I think I'm into the passion part of my career, and I'm bringing compassion to it, and I'm going to focus on the solution, which is for us to unravel it, throw everything away, you know. And the problem is, too, imagine you and I sitting at a table, we're putting a puzzle together. And then, of course, the puzzle, we decide to mess the puzzle up. Can you imagine trying to put the puzzle together with all the pieces upside down?
Right, exactly.
You don't know what's under there. You don't know what the face is. You don't know where you can't even see.
You can't even start.
Yeah, you can't even see the picture on the fragmented piece.
Mm-mm.
That goes
wow.
connected to another. So, you know, that's where we are. So I don't, the advice is to just, that's a very good question, because when you say, oh, try to read as much as you can, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Read what, you know.
Right,
and
then it goes back to, yeah.
To contact me and define a Curl Academy. There's a fabulous woman there, and you're a protege of mine. Her name is Bridget. So she will also, and I'm serious, Carrie, we got to do that big lecture, the great debate.
Oh, we're going to do some great things. And I'm able to travel out to the West Coast also. Shout out to all of our fans out there in California as well, who tune in and listen to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, yes, go ahead, Cheryl, tell everybody how, if you're interested in finding out about the Curl Academy, what are the best ways they can do that?
They can go to the Facebook page.
All
like
right.
And subscribe. They can personally inbox me. Okay? And what we really encourage is for them to be ambassadors. Because it's not the goal, you know, because scary. I mean, I don't want to travel in every state in the union.
Right.
Even though I'm scheduled to do a lot. But I really want us to be, to band together, trust each other, be in an industry where we feel safe and to where we can share and everyone can be their own tribal leader and to really get this spread across, you know, the world and for us to represent the 96% of the world's population has some form of curl. This is a pro-curl world. It's not a straight hair world. And they understand, I mean, national...
A pro-curl world. May I borrow that?
Oh, sure. Fine. Not a problem.
Oh, I love that. A pro-curl world.
Right.
That is just fantastic.
This is a curly universe. Everything is born into and goes into a curl. It's a natural phenomenon, sacred geometry. That is the way energy travels, sound travels, music travels, waves travel. That's how life begins and that's how life ends. It goes in and goes out as centripetal. Then it's a great. In fact, a pro curl world is a exhibit, you know.
Wow.
And election.
Well, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, right.
Now, I have to also, Cheryl, I have to ask you this because I think you were the first person who mentioned this name to me eons ago, and it has taken the world many more years before I heard it again, and several years had elapsed. And so I'm working on a new project with this particular individual in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to ask you your thoughts on the great Annie Malone. What comes to mind when I mention that name to you?
The first word probably is, she is probably the most successful business mogul ever in Black America. She is probably the, she had either, it was either 75 or 50.
75,000, yeah.
Right. And let me just say this. And she had the typical personality, very A personality, very focused, not a very social woman, but very studious and focused, very, very, very regal and majestic presence, but very focused, Masons in very white male society loved her. You know, I tell a lot of people that she gets a lot of industry males, Roosevelt, this is a very different kind of woman. Very, very, very difficult. Different. And
right.
I didn't mean difficult.
No, she wasn't difficult. The opposite.
Very different.
Yes.
Yeah, very,
right.
Very different, but driven.
Uh-huh.
That's what comes to mind.
A true
mogul.
With a heart of gold. A true heart of gold. And I've asked several individuals, there's always been, for the layman's, for the folks out here who, for those who perhaps are enthusiasts, who are not necessarily in the hair industry, but for folks, we've always known and heard about Madam C.J. Walker and being the first African-American female millionaire. And I've asked others about this, and I'm just curious about your take on it. Does it even matter who was the first between the two? Or why has there been such a big discussion between trying to prove who crossed that line first when they were both friendly with one another and certainly a teacher and a student as well?
Well, here we go again. That is not the truth. And the truth matters because they were not friends. That's a myth.
That's the myth.
Annie, because of her being started first, the truth is that Madam C.J. Walker was never considered a millionaire. And she died way too soon. She died not even before 1920. And you're talking
right,
about,
she died early on.
Yeah, you're talking about Madam Spencer Washington outliving her and out wealthing her. Sarah Spencer Washington.
There were a couple of others.
Yeah, no, well, several others. There was
right.
Garrett Morgan. There was there was a lot of them. There was a lot of them. I think what happened, Carrie, is white America got a hold of a narrative called the $1 million wedding. And that was F.B. Ransom. That was the marketing strategy with F.B. Ransom and Alila Walker, which was the daughter.
Yes.
And I think that allure for Madam C.J. Walker, the allure of Alila Walker, that is where the story was embellished and, of course, miswritten by us. Because, you know, we love to write. and because we don't, and see, here we go again. Yes, it does matter, Carrie. Because
okay.
The reason why it matters is because there's jewels in the truth. How can you wonderfully miss the fact that Madam C.J. Walker became successful at the hands of a black woman's educational institution? That's a jewel,
right.
So you can't miss that because
right.
that.
Well, that is a that's
an
absolute
clue
fact
that you and I can band together, educate each other, and go to. So it is correct. We need to get the narrative correct. There's another narrative. We need to get the Korean narrative straightened out so we will know how to get ourselves.
Well,
out of
you know what. Let's use this
out of the mess.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything you want to add to that as the first line in correcting that narrative regarding the Koreans?
I would like to do it in person, but let me just say this.
Okay. Well, you know, that's actually a good teaser, Cheryl. That's a good teaser. We're going to have you guys. And you know what, Cheryl? We may just have to have you come back. And we'll do a part two to this hot topic conversation.
Oh, man.
Because
let me tell you, the black hair care story is so mind-blowing how things happen and then how the story was told. And when you get the remix, it's like it's almost like a Saturday afternoon, and you don't want to go outside and play because the cliffhangers just keep coming. It's like
that's right. Wow.
Yeah. So you know, and when we finally, and let me just say this, I do believe that we do have a collective conscience. And I do believe that we want to get the narratives right. And I do believe that there is precious keys in the story and the truth of our story as we tell it. Because it's a wonderful booklet. If you go on Annie Malone, you can go on Amazon and you put Annie Malone. There's a wonderful book written by a friend, a dear friend and colleague of mine, Joel Freeman.
Oh, yes. Joel Freeman, Dr. Freeman, has been on our show.
Yes.
And he's a great friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Yes,
you're right. He does a great job. And he's written, I think he updated Annie Malone's book herself that she had written and published.
Yes.
But, yeah, Dr. Freeman is just fantastic. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
Cheryl, now you know we know everybody in the hair business, Cheryl.
Yeah, and then there's a wonderful Harlem historian. There's a Harlem historian. He always wears this hat. He was on Martha Stewart a couple of years ago.
Now, see, I probably don't know that person. Yes, please do.
There's a great story of Mamie Scott. Alila Walker, Rose Meta Morgan, and that is also who has been buried in Harlem history. You got to dig her up. Rose Meta Morgan, I think she was just as successful as any of them. Maybe not the magnitude of Annie Malone, but oh my goodness, was she ever successful? She was the toast of Harlem, the toast of the East Coast. And she died recently, actually. And her sister just turned 104, I think, died within the last month or two at 104. But it's a fascinating, she's a New Yorker. Her name is Rose Meta Morgan. She was a former ex-wife of Joe Louis. But fascinating, very hair mogul. And just wonderful stories that we have to dig up, discuss, and then that can help us find our way back to success.
Cheryl, it's Carrie.
Yeah.
And yes, and we continue. Sorry about that. I'll connect this right on. So you go right ahead. So you were speaking about a woman also in Harlem.
Yeah, Rose Meta Morgan.
Okay.
I want you definitely
wow.
to catch up on that. Just put that in the search engine, but make sure. Want me to send you a couple of links? I will. But anyway, but
that
she's all over
wonderful.
The internet. It's just a wonderful story, Rose Meta Morgan. Please, make
okay.
sure you document her.
Wonderful. We will have to do that. Now, I have to say, and on a lighter note, I don't know how much lighter, but I'm curious about what your take is on all of this that was in the news in recent days, and that is this one individual person, and I'm just curious your feeling on this. I don't know if you've been following this story that made the news recently about Rachel Dolezal,
mm-hmm.
and she's the NAACP person. I forget out of where. I think on the Pacific. I think on the West Coast somewhere, I think.
What is it?
I forget, but yeah, it's definitely not New York.
No.
okay, but now you tell me, what were your thoughts on this? I would just love to know. I know it's definitely off topic, but I just wanted to ask you that.
Well, I think the reason why most people ask me that question. Because I'm going to answer it in a anthropologic, historical, social, political kind of
context, right?
Just to put it, blackness is something that's extremely attractive. I do believe she felt black
uh-huh.
and still does. I believe
uh-huh.
she does. And let me just say that she has too many deep-seated issues with her family
uh-huh.
not to have had this issue for a while. She's had this issue for a while. Shown itself or manifested within the last 10 or 12 years. But I really do think, and we have known people who we say are, yes, yeah, she black, but she white, but she black. We've said that so many times. I mean, it's almost like, I hate to say it, but it's almost like we have an uncle. You know what I mean? It's almost like we have somebody in our family that's weird. And if we
the uncle always, in the attic.
and but they haven't even been in the attic. It's just like, wow, your uncle, you know, but it's the same
mm-hmm.
story as the one somebody's saying, oh, you have a gay uncle, you have a gay aunt. You know, I mean, we've always had a white guy dates black women, a black woman dates, I mean, I hate to say, I don't think it's quite that abnormal. But what I do, I do probably, you know, because you have to understand, because, and this is goes to another lecture that I deal with about trust and dealing with of going to a place of bliss and then accomplishing beauty. which is a whole other story, but when you, we see things, Carrie, through trauma. We see things through terror. It's called terrorism. It's almost like when you hear a firecracker and all you hear is war in Iraq, you don't know the difference between a firecracker, a celebration, 4th of July, from gunfire.
Right.
So correct. Gun shell shy or gun shy, it shell shocked, all of that is the same to you. You don't have a differentiation. You don't have nuanced. You're not nuanced. And my people, black people, are just not nuanced when it comes to self-image, cultural issues. We're not sophisticated. We're too busy surviving, getting from one point to the next point. And I don't think in the issue of fact about her lying, we lie. That's what you have to do in America. So a white woman wanting to be black, to a white family, I'm pretty sure that that is not acceptable. So she, and she's not been fighting this for, this is not new. I think she's been dealing with it. It's the same thing as you wanting to be something that you're not. I mean, thank God Tina Marie didn't have to hide it because she went with Jen.
I've heard the reference to Tina Marie in recent days regarding the Rachel Dolezal case, or you know, but I think there was a big difference because I don't think that she, you know, tried to tell everybody she's black per se. Didn't mean that she couldn't have somewhat a black experience, if you will, through her music and through her connections in music, and being influenced by people of color.
But you have to lie when you're in education. You have to lie when you're in the system. You have to lie when you're in the NAACP. You have to. Music.
Well, Rachel Dolezal clearly.
Yeah, you
can't clearly
art
yeah.
with the political
right.
structure. You
well, my big thing, I'm going to agree with you, Cheryl.
Yeah, but you can be free in music. Think about it. You can be free in music. You don't have to go there because everyone knows you're white. We never believed that Tina Marie sounded black. But we
well, we knew already.
I know, but the point is she never had to hide.
Right, that's correct.
Because
correct.
The music was art. Hello, it was coming out of Motown.
Exactly.
So, you know, the matter is, if you want to do other things and still be a white woman identifying black, you can't do it. It's in her mind, it was not just good enough to just be white with your white life and want to be fighting for justice for dark people.
Right.
She had to take on the cosmetic. And let me just say this, and I'm not saying that there is no trauma in her life to create these really extreme reasons why. What I'm saying is that, come on, my people, I mean, come on, we're not really, like, that's not foreign. We've got white people wanting to be black people all day long. We got them talking, I mean, that's not... That's not weird to me. I just don't find it weird. I find it, I think she got caught out there before she can probably, I think it would have went over well if she would have come out of the closet and said, I'm a white woman, want to be black, always felt black, wrong life, wrong body, wrong color. We would have fought for her. We would have fought for her.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to say I agree that she did.
Yeah, I think we got kind of. It just didn't happen right.
Didn't happen, no. But I'll tell you something. I think you're right. I don't think she purposely, because she looked so surprised. You cannot fake that level of element of surprise when it was where it was all caught on camera. And she really, it was like you know, someone who's in a trance. Have you ever seen those folks who are hypnotized? And to thinking that they're, you know, a cat or something, and then they're literally shocked out of it, and their brain can't process it at that moment. And that's what it seemed like was going on with her, that she couldn't process that she wasn't black.
Now listen to the
That
other,
may not have started that way.
Now
but boy,
to,
oh boy, that's where it ended.
Yeah, listen to the other argument, which, of course, this is part of the lecture because we don't have a think tank to bring these things to the table. We don't understand how hard it is to be white. It is extremely hard to be white. You have to lie, pretend, act like you don't see things, act like you don't feel things, act like you're like, maybe she just was not willing to do that. And what she identified, because we are assuming that to be black is hard, we don't ever ponder what white people go through to be, because it's very hard to go into an office and have to overperform because people expect you to because you're white. And what kind of psychosis does that create to the point where why she made her choice, wow, this feels better. I like this. I don't really have to pretend. I really can care about people and don't feel funny about caring about people because white people make me feel funny about caring about that little black girl's hair. And I, for some reason, want to go over there and do her hair.
Well, that's what I was, all I remember, the thing that what struck a whole bunch of folks, especially those of us in and around the hair industry, I think her hair told an entire story all by itself, literally. Honestly, actual story, a narrative with her hair.
I know, but think about it. Here we go again. We're not critically analyzing the situation. White people started out curling their hair. We didn't create Marcel. Our name is not Marcel. That's a French name. It's almost like we are so shocked that white people want to be black. Why are we so shocked about that when they started like that? A Hasidic Jew doesn't have a natural springly coil on the side of his head. He makes his hair like that. Why? Because there's another issue, but that's a whole story.
Right, it's a whole other thing, but good point.
But the point is they wore wigs. They always wore their hair up and with height. They always wore that stuff. Why is it weird today that a white person does that? You know why?
Why?
Because it's weird that we do it.
Mm.
And our connection to it is strange. We still can't even get the good and the bad hair right. We still can't even get the N-word right. We don't even have it together.
Mm-hmm.
So when a white person gets their juice in it, then they start getting it in. And then, of course, my father said something very interesting the other day. He said, "You want to come over here with us?" "Yeah." "Us?" "Yeah." He said, "Well, then come on, Emmy, because you obviously want to come over here bad."
Yeah, in a bad way. And there are folks who are in our community who are trying to, you know, they have an opportunity to relocate, if you will, for lack of a better way to say it, they probably would. So I say I'm proud to be from this community. And you know something, I kind of agree with you. I really applaud the efforts because maybe, like I said, maybe she didn't start with that feeling and that genuine belief system. But, boy, you can tell that she certainly got there at some point. And you cannot fake that. And for the work that she's done, sometimes we have to, you know, understand and look at it, you know, for the greater good. And I think that her heart was in the right place, even if she has. I think this is more of an issue where she has more issues that she has to deal with on a personal level with her family than she could ever have with the black community.
And I think
I was like, oh my, wow.
Some sister should go over there and just like Key and Pele, I think she needs a black interpreter and say, okay, what she's feeling, y'all, is soul. If you don't have it, she can't explain it. Now, obviously, she has it, and she just can't shake it. And it's the same thing as, I mean, your president is a biracial first president.
Right.
He's not the first black president. He's the first biracial president. The problem is that he identifies with the black part.
Part of that is in a historical context also, you know.
But you can't explain why he looked at Michelle. You can't explain how a person chooses to identify. You just can't explain. You don't know where it is. Is it in the heart vibration, in the mind vibration? Is it in the gender? Is it in the DNA?
Right.
You can't explain that.
Or learned behavior, right.
You shouldn't make other people have to explain that. Because we're already black, we shouldn't have to. I mean, that's a very Eurocentric way of having a person have to get into the dictionary and define themselves by what, relative to what. Just if they have affinity to do something, we're the greatest friends of liberty. We should allow them to do it. Now, the issues which she has with her parents, then we do have to tell her to go back home and deal with that. But over here, it's all good, girlfriend, because you've done more with your half-blackness than we've done with our whole blackness.
Then now that is it. And
so
on that note,
to,
I have to say.
You do your thing, because at the end of the day, Carrie, we have to ask ourselves as critical analysis this one question. Have ever in history has a black person being in elevated to a position, and by default that they're black, has rendered the whole collective of black people any privileges, resources, or advantages? Just for the fact that they're black, has anybody been raised to, elected to any position as a black person? Has that ever in history rendered us any resources, advantages, and privileges just by the
I've
fact
never
that
known.
In that
I've
position.
Never known that.
That has never happened.
Exactly.
The fact that if we keep a black or white person who wants to have an affinity for blackness, why don't we try that? Because obviously a black person being in a position of city council, mayor, governor, assembly person, a person in the White House, that don't render us no privileges, advantages,
Well, I agree with you on that too, but I look at it also that this person has completely, she identifies so, I'm going to use this word authentically, if you will, because I think it's something that is going on on a deeper level, so psychologically. So if that's the case, she's done work on behalf of the people with whom she identifies. And that's not a bad thing or hasn't been a bad thing for us. Now, on a personal level, that's why I say it's more of a personal thing. It kind of reminds me of that thing with Hillary Clinton and President Clinton and the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. You know, that's more of a personal type thing. When we saw her family sitting up there on the couch, the mother and the dad, and they look like a missing child. You ever see other people always look where, you know, somebody's missing? That's how they were looking when they were saying that she was saying she wasn't white. It was a little jarring. I mean, it was just
also
a different conversation.
I also think politically we do have to understand that whiteness does not exist. And I think it's falling. Maybe it's the consciousness. Whiteness does not exist. Whiteness was invented by colonists. That it's a class. It actually doesn't exist. Immigrants don't come here as white people. They come here as Italians, or Polish, or Portuguese, or British, or Irish, or Scottish, or they don't Chinese or Korean. People don't come here as a color. And I think that, too, also is a problem as well, because people feel, Eric Clapton's been playing the blues with B.B. King, and he swears. But the point is that I do believe you can have a culture inside of you that you do connect with and you resonate with. And unfortunately, you have to be born out of that first family, and that first family has to get used to you wanting to be culturalized and socialized different than the first family you came through. And I think that therein lies the problem.
Wow. Well, you know, I have to say, Cheryl, you are just a treasure trove of information, and I love, and the reason that we ask you these questions, because you really get to the heart of the matter, and you always give us a different perspective. Now, I've got to say, I want to thank you, because we're going to have to have you back. This wonderful conversation will continue. And we will definitely get you back here soon on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But I want to turn back to one thing before we say goodbye, and that's to just remind everybody one more time about the Curl Academy.
Curl Academy, go on Curl Academy Facebook, the Facebook page, Curl Academy, and please reach out to me, converse with me, and like us, and subscribe. And make sure that you write down the next Google Hangout. And just keep listening to Hair Radio.
We love it, man.
You rock.
Thank you. Back at you. Now, any shout-outs this morning?
I want to shout out to my wonderful friend and colleague, Bridget of Hair Church. You guys got to go on hairchurch.com. You guys are going to love Hair Church. And Carrie, that's going to be probably another interview. Hair Church.
I love that name.
It's literally hair church.
All right.
With a bishop, with a preacher, with a pastor, and everything. And I know it's weird, but it is.
She's got
the hair mandment and everything. Her name is Bridget Vicente. She is the CEO and president and pastor of the Hair Church. So that's www.hairchurch.com.
We will get her on this show.
That's my shout out.
All right. Well, listen, Cheryl, as always, you know your family here to the Hair Radio Morning Show. And we just adore you here.
All right.
So you're a part of us.
Oh, man.
So listen, we will.
Big hug and kiss to you, kid.
Oh, well, thank you. And I can't wait. So when you come out here or when I come out there, we're going to get some shows together and we're going to just continue what we're doing.
So you are volunteering to moderate?
Oh, absolutely.
The debate?
Anytime.
Are you going to moderate
anytime.
The debate?
Anytime. You know I'm good with all of that. You just have to call me.
Okay.
You just have to call me, and we'll cover it on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, okay?
Oh, you got it. My pleasure.
nights in Harlem. Just the thought of you, when you said you loved me, I promised to be true. Time has gone by, oh, but just the thought of you. Summer nights in Harlem make my heart remember you. Time and place, we promised to be true. It was on that night I fell in love with you. Summer nights in Harlem make my heart remember you. Think of you. Summer nights in Harlem make my heart remember you.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 7th of 2022. It's our show number 705 already, as we march towards our 1,000th broadcast down the road a bit. I just want to say again, good morning. Welcome, everybody. I'm looking at the numbers from yesterday. And I just want to say thank you. I've got a shout-out to all of our amazing international listeners. Of course, we shout-out to our incredible American listeners every single day on the show, and that goes kind of without saying. But I'm really very pleased when I look and see folks all the way in Botswana, South Africa. I see folks in South Korea checking us out. I see folks in all parts of Europe. Of course, we have lots of fans in Canada and Italy and all of that. We're just thrilled to welcome so many folks, and we just love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. This show is all about us, and it's all about you. So it's about everybody. So listen, lots to get into, a lot to unpack on this wonderful Wednesday morning. I first want to bring to the line a gentleman who's really been kind of coming in mid-show, and I believe he listens to the broadcast, but we'll check in with him directly. You guys know him. When we spell his name, we literally, you can never go wrong. It spells the same frontwards and backwards. We're talking about the one and only Mr. Otto. Otto, good morning. I know you get tired of me saying about your name. We love the name Otto. It's such a great name. It really is, Otto. It's a great name. When I first talked, I said, Otto, you have the perfect radio name. You know, quick, short little names. Who in the world can forget those? So good morning to you officially.
Good morning. It was always easy learning how to spell that growing up. You know, I got that pretty fast.
<Yeah. laughs> If you didn't spell that one too well, you're in bad shape.
Right, right.
Well, listen, I just want to say again, welcome, welcome, welcome for everybody. This is our mid-show. And we started something called Coffee Tea. And today it's conversations. On those hot button days, it'll be coffee, conversations, and the tea. But right now, it's coffee, tea, and conversation. I have quite a few things I want to kind of point out. And we're going to talk a little bit about this. It's one of the stories I kind of shared online a tad on my Facebook, my Carrie Hines Facebook page. The reason is this story, it kind of struck my nerves just a little tad this morning. I'm reading, and I've been kind of, you know, watching this portrayal off and on of this incredible actress. You guys know her, Viola Davis. She's been out there. She's, you know, many folks have just talked and praised her incredible performances. She's won an Emmy Award. She had her own TV show, of course. She's played on so many things. And she's won an Emmy, an Oscar, and a Tony. So she's a triple threat already. Yeah. Well, she's a very talented lady. Very, very talented lady. And very educated. And so all of this, the thing that really got me was about her portrayal of Michelle Obama. And that wasn't the bad part, but the internet, you know how Twitter can just be absolutely mean, how the folks in social media can be just cruel.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about that in just a moment, because her thing was that they called her duck lips and duck face and this and that because she was pouting in her, and we're talking not about Michelle Obama, but the actress who played her. So Viola Davis, they're talking about she overdid the facial expressions. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Yeah, lots I want to get into on that. That's really interesting. It's always something. And but first, I want to talk about in this coffee, tea, and conversations, I first want to just bring folks up to date on what's happening here at Hair Radio. We'll also see if we can check in with some of the cast members of the popular radio broadcast, the Vet Talk Radio Show, in just a bit.
Mm.
So we'll turn to them in just a moment, see if they would like to weigh in on some of this. If you're just joining us this morning, it's about 7:39 New York time as we broadcast live on this Wednesday morning, April 27th. One of my favorite things that we kicked off with early this morning was a great moment that we got on. I know we're supposed to do Throwback Thursdays, but I had to just get on Prince, some classic Prince, and we did. So so that we got on his I Wanna Be Your Lover song. So for those of you who go way back, it was a classic hit. And then, which I probably have never said that on the air, but anyway, lots of good stuff, lots of good stuff to get into. So we then led in with the one and only Miss Cheryl Morrow. And I wanted to get this on because it was a classic interview. I think it was the first time we had, I don't know, I've been knowing Cheryl and her family and talking to her for so long. I think it was one of the early interviews. This was before we actually had the Hair Nation Expo in Atlantic City.
Right.
The Hair Nation Expo was originally scheduled for Harlem in Manhattan. That's New York City. And that didn't quite work out. So I referenced that. And so when I'm listening back to Cheryl, I said, oh, boy, so many things have changed. So that's why it's great to play some of these classic pieces, because they remind me of what we said and where we are and all of that. So it was just some interesting stuff. So real good stuff. What about yourself? Did you? I don't know when you got a chance to tune in, but Otto, what do you have to say this morning in coffee, tea, and conversations?
All righty. Yes, I was tuning in.
We need our own theme song, by the way. We need our own theme song. We're working on that.
No, I tuned in, absolutely. And I was thinking to myself as she was speaking, if I was young or young lady and new in the industry, what a mentor she would be if you had the opportunity, to work for her or follow her. She's a vast knowledge of all the aspects of talk about hair, the technology, the lab, the business, just the history, the entire industry. She's a real professional. I enjoy her every time she's on. I listen because she's like I said, if I was young and wanted that industry for my career, boy, she would be like yourself. If you wanted to be in radio, Curry Hines is the best part.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I agree on that. Yeah, Cheryl, Cheryl checks a lot of boxes in the industry. She's just been an incredible light. And she has folks, and Cheryl will go there with you on whatever you want to talk about. She has, and listen, she gets into the conversation. My favorite part of her interview, because there are several parts in there I absolutely love, but I think my favorite is when she talks about Rachel Dolezal, and this was the Caucasian lady who kind of portrayed herself as an African-American woman. And every time I listened closely to it, and it was just incredible commentary by Cheryl, and it made me think. I said, oh, I never looked at it that way. So I got to try to I'm trying to get Rachel on our show. I've been after her for years to come and tell us her story. So we'll see what happens. Well, you never know. There are a couple folks I'm working on. There was a comment about the song. I played a song called Summer Nights in Harlem, which was a very jazzy song. That was a song we just kind of played a couple minutes ago. And what is incredible about it, the singer is from the 90s. And her popular period was from the 90s. She had a huge R&B career. Her name is Allison Williams. And we love Allison Williams. And we certainly wish her well. Allison was on our show. And, of course, everybody comes to Hair Radio. Like the lady says, you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio. And so, exactly. So Allison was just fantastic. She's a great singer. She also hosts her own radio show. So we just had a great time. I'm going to try to get her interview on that we had. So she was live on the show. So this was a little ways back, but and celebrating everything, we're opening up the Hair Radio Morning Show vaults, and we're just pulling off all the stops on all of these incredible things. So lots to talk about. So first, let's kind of bring to the line some of the folks who helped to keep this radio show moving forward. You know them. They've joined us many, many, many times. You can listen to their own show on Tuesday mornings at 8:30. It's live. We're talking about the incredible Vet Talk radio show. They now are also carried on our streaming network Tuesday mornings between 9 and 11 right now. we're looking to expand that out and just take it to all new heights. So let's kind of get them on the line. We're talking about the incredible Michael Hopkins from Spotsylvania. And also Nur Jahan, of course, from Clarksville, Tennessee, just always happy to have them all on. And Nicole from Water Valley. So I think we've got two-thirds of the angels on. So we're shouting out Katrina this morning. I'm sure she'll probably drop by. So listen, good morning, everybody. Good morning. You're all on with Otto and Carrie Hines on Coffee, Tea, and Conversations.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And good morning.
Good morning. Hey,
well, we've got an
dynamic duo.
I'm Batman. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Or I've also been accused of being Alfred.
Oh, well, okay. You're going to let Otto be Alfred? I was going to say, I think I'll be it.
Oh, okay. Well, remember Alfred. Well, speaking of the 90s, I remember Alfred, who was always the butler on the old TV show Batman. Alfred the butler. Well, they did a reunion on the Arsenio Hall show, on a Batman reunion, and Alfred was kind of, you know, pretty much pretty elderly when he was on the TV show. So years later, they had him on, and this man was still kicking. I said, believe me, Alfred lasted a long time.
Yes,
listen, good morning, folks. Well, speaking of TV, what do you guys think? There is this portrayal of the incredible actress. You guys know her. You've heard us talk about her right here, named Viola Davis. And she's very popular. She's won an Oscar, a Tony, and an Emmy Award. And we are just so honored to talk about her quite a bit on the show. But in recent days, Twitter has let her have it, so to speak. Not just say Twitter, but the social media world. Over her portrayal of the incredible Michelle Obama, the first lady, former first lady of America. So I don't know if you guys have heard the story, and normally I kind of wouldn't pay this close attention, but there was a reply. Viola Davis got on the people. She clapped back, as they say in the hood. Yeah, she clapped back. And around the way, shall we say, yes, around the way. So she clapped back. And what she said, she wasn't evil or anything, but she's like, you know, so she had her comments. First, let me just weigh in, and then we'll talk a little bit about what she had to say. So you guys have heard. Any thoughts on this topic? Nur Jahan, had you, because you do not normally follow things in the media like this, but I would love to know what Nur has to say today. Good morning, Nur Jahan from Clarksville, Tennessee.
Yes, good morning, Carrie. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you just fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I really don't usually watch TV, but I did read the article, so I am actually able to weigh in today.
Wow. Fancy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're dying to hear what you got to say. You know who Viola Davis is. She's been an actress out there with her own TV show, and she's been in many movies already at this point, and very respected actress.
Yes, before I stopped watching TV, I was always watching How to Get Away with Murder. So I am very familiar with
her. Oh, her TV show. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Probably more than me. Okay, because I didn't really watch How to Get Away with Murder and that, but I know who she is. Yeah. Well, so what do you say? Then I came to the right person. What do you say when you see they really were kind of raking her over the coals about her portrayal?
Yeah, so it says that she was incredibly hurt when people say negative things about her work. And when you think about it, when you're trying to portray somebody, it's not easy, especially if you don't really get to talk to that person or spend time with them and watch their moves and watch how they speak. And, you know, you just got to look at movies, or not movies, but videos or articles, and see, you know, how this person acts. And so by you trying to be that person, it's not easy. And you want to do the best that you can.
Especially
so
if the person's still alive.
So that you can do them justice. Yeah. Right. You want to do them justice when you're trying to portray a person. And so when people say negative things, they're not going to get out there and do that. So really I think people just say stuff just to get attention. But I think they did kind of, you know, say things a little too far. Like you said, you know, they're calling her duck lips and stuff like that. I mean, if that's the way that's the look that Michelle Obama's giving, if you're poking your lips out, I mean, what else can you call them? You know, but some people are just, they're just overly critical, I just think.
It was, awesome words, Nur Jahan. No, I'm sorry, but it does, every time I can't help it, because on the article, they have a picture of the actress, Viola Davis, along with an actual picture of Michelle Obama. Now, Michelle Obama is making kind of the distorted, grimacing kind of face. As Michelle, they have always put these images of her, which you guys have to understand may also be more involved than we think. There are also some awful folks out there in the media who will try to portray her as an angry, you know, this angry black woman type thing. So there's a whole bunch of racism and all that stuff as well, you know, at the base of a lot of this. But I do want to say this. Let's just say that Michelle Obama is known for, you know, grimacing and stuff like that. Many of us do it without thinking about it. And maybe Viola saw that. Sometimes when you do, you know, like an artist what is a caricature? You know, you kind of draw upon what you exaggerate, maybe a feature. So that is understandable. That's what artists do. I don't think it was so much a big deal. If I were Viola, I don't know. Well, first, let me go around the panel a little bit, since we got a Wednesday panel on coffee, tea, and conversations. Nur, I think you're the first to talk on coffee, tea, and conversations. You've made history today.
Awesome. Well,
yes, because is that not nice? Because normally when the folks, the Vet Talk cast is on with us, we usually have only about 30 seconds to get a word from the angels in. So this is quite rare. So I got to bring the man behind Vet Talk Radio Show, Michael Hopkins. Michael, good morning to you. We're going a little bit out of order this morning. How do you feel, sir? And welcome, welcome, welcome Wednesday.
Oh, good morning. And yes, the sunshine is shining here in Spotsylvania.
Spotsylvania, yes. Right next door to Transylvania, Michael Hopkins. I always tease Michael about that. Oh, no. So, Michael, I don't know. You're not a big TV person either, but I don't know if you know who Viola Davis is. She's a beautiful African-American actress who's been doing incredible work. In recent years, she's won an Oscar, a Tony, an Emmy. I think she's won a Tony. Yeah, she's won so much. So what do you have to say? Is it fair for the people to just come down on her because she's poked out her lips a tad?
Well, you know, Carrie, it's more like, is this all we got to do on TV and on Twitter? And we got all this media, and we're worried about somebody's lips? Really? Seriously.
Yeah. I hate to tell you, Michael, but yes, that's all we have to do. So you're saying it's a distraction.
Yeah, it is. To me, that's what it is. Somebody, and I guess I'm one of those sometimes conspiracy theory people, you know, military and all that. And it reminds me of being in the military and psychological warfare that you're supposed to do to people in order to get them to comply and to come over to your side. That's
what is it called where that they do all the waterboarding? Yeah. Yeah, well, we remember those conversations.
You know, we would never do that, Carrie Hines. Not us.
No.
Not
we would. No.
Oh, I
no.
know nothing about things like that. Oh,
no. I hear you,
with
Michael.
Viola Davis? You know, it's
yeah.
You look at it and you say, oh my God, I can't believe you guys are saying she has duck lips. Okay. What else does she have? A chicken nose?
Well, Michael, now hold on.
Let me
be fair to everybody in this, too. When you look at the two pictures, the one of Michelle Obama, the one of Viola Davis acting like Michelle Obama, they've got the two pictures, and both grimacing. But what I noticed and what I think might have been portrayed not quite so accurately about it is that Michelle Obama, to me, is not always grimacing from a look of displeasure. You know what I mean? So it might have been misconstrued.
Right.
A lot of us use our face to kind of demonstrate a point or you know, it's just something that happens naturally.
Yes.
And so she might not have been like, you know how you make a face because you smelled something that doesn't quite ring so well? And so I don't think that Michelle Obama is always given that look for that reason, but that might have been the one note that this wonderful actress portrayed her to be doing. Like maybe she portrayed her to always be like not pleased and making a sour face when it really was not really, that's not what her intention might have been. I've got to turn to one of your other angels that we haven't checked in with this morning. You guys know her. She's out of Water Valley, Mississippi. One of very vocal on the show as well. Nicole has dropped by on several different occasions. Nicole, good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And
good morning.
So you've been listening
morning,
to the
Nicole.
Conversation this morning.
Yes,
yes,
I have.
Yes,
I have.
Okay.
And
well, we want to hear it.
All right. Well, first let me say I love Viola Davis. I love her work. My favorite is probably Fences with Denzel Washington. I love that.
Oh,
and
that's right. I forgot. Yeah.
Yes, that
movie.
That movie
Fences
was excellent. Yes. And
August Wilson's
let me just
work.
Say that I feel that the criticism was kind of harsh, but that's how social media is. Like Michael said, sometimes I think people don't have much to do but criticize others. But if you also remember when Michelle Obama
I'm sorry, but the
first
the
lady,
pictures are kind of funny, though, a little bit.
They are. But
sorry.
Remember
but,
during that time when she was the first lady, she received lots of criticism as well, as well as praises as well. So, you know, you saw that on social media as well. But I think the criticism is kind of harsh. Like Viola said, that she, you know, didn't have firsthand experience like meeting Michelle Obama and being around her and studying her and so forth. So the information that she had, whether it was, you know, video, tape, whatever, how she studied her to portray that role, that's what she was going on. So I think the criticism is a little harsh.
Well, do you think that Viola did right by, you know, expressing what she felt about it? Or would you have, I'm going to ask each of you, would you have just ignored it first, Nicole? Would you have just ignored the backlash?
Yes. Because
really?
I think no matter what work that you do, there's going to be positive and there's going to be the negative. And here is the negative coming out about her portrayal of the role.
Well, let's ask Noor. Noor, would you have ignored the criticism?
That's kind of hard to say because the fact that she clapped back, but she had reason to because of her upbringing. And so by reading what she came out of from, you know, where she was as a child, where, you know, being in poverty and, you know, the abuse and all that stuff, people are saying stuff about her, and they didn't even know what her life was like for her to even be an actress. So I think that she did the right thing, because people are saying something about something they have no idea what they're talking about. And I can't wait to read her book. I'm just so intrigued about, you know.
You
Michelle
are definitely
Obama
a big
book.
Fan. You guys really are big fans. I find it amazing.
Not only that, it's because, you know, my book, you know, is on its way, you know, and so from an author to another author, I can understand why she did what she did as far as letting people know, oh, you're saying something about something you have no idea. And then to hear what she went through, then they'll probably feel bad about what they said about her.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I agree with you wholeheartedly. Love your comments as well. Hopkins, Michael Hopkins, would you have ignored what they said?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Oh, no.
You would have gone in for battle.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. I would have had my strategy, put my helmet on, put my combat gear on. Oh, yeah. Oh, got something to say about me? Okay. Let's get busy.
Because, I hear you, brother Michael.
You know, sometimes with people, Carrie, I mean, my thought pattern is this. You could be willy-nilly and, you know, we can have a kumbaya moment and all that stuff. Some people, you can't have a kumbaya moment with them. You have to have a preemptive strike. Mm-hmm. You just have to. Then they start to understand the English language. They start to understand, leave me alone. Then it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. We're all happy, see? But some people, and I hate to say that sometimes with the media, because, you know, I do watch TV and I watch the news and all that, and I see sometimes some of the people that report the news, you have to go at them. You know, make them cry.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they're not going to feel, you know, nobody feels sorry for you.
Yeah.
You know, that's just.
Well,
that,
the
I
media
mean, thing,
could do a
opinion.
Better job. Yeah.
Yeah, and they could, and that's what's supposed to be designed for, I guess, in my thinking. But, you know, I love all of this.
I have to turn to Otto, our man who spells his name the same forwards and backwards. Otto, you've been listening to all of this. Yeah, well, you're not a TV person as well. So what was it that made you put the TV away for good? I really would love to know. I've always wanted to ask you, what was it that just turned you sour on TV?
Good morning, the Angels and Michael Hopkins, first of all. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Otto.
Good morning, huh? It was the negativity, and I believe the stress that it creates, the negativity, the separation of people. It's just, I feel personally, you know, I love radio because, you're your own person. You're not bound by a lot of things, like they're talking into a teleprompter, and if they go outside the teleprompter, they lose their job. So they're kind of controlled. I don't like that. I think that, and their messages are evil. So I got away from it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Nora's great for doing that too. I tell you, I don't miss it a bit. I don't miss it a lick. I go without it. I have a 100-inch TV on the wall. It's been sitting there collecting dust, but it's just like the social media, like in regards to Viola Davis, who is a beautiful woman and multi-talented. But here we have, once again, social media is like in the old days, the bully in the schoolyard. And it's a bunch of people. What have they done, really? But they sit behind a keyboard and they're shouting out negativity. But what have they actually done? Have they done any dreams? Have they pursued? No, they're just sitting there, tough guy behind a keyboard. And so I like Michael, I guess I would want to defend myself. But then at that point, that's where they want you. They want to drag you down in the mud, you know what I mean, and get down with them. And that, so it's, I think, like Michael said, either way, Katrina, nor that, you know, it's a tough line. I get you want to defend yourself, but also do you want to go where they want you to go, in the mud? And so I commend her, you know, on snapping back and getting her piece out there. But sometimes once it's out, it's hard to get, you know what I mean, the other side to listen. So I just think it's a shame.
Yeah.
That's all. You know, the woman's trying, and she's a wonderful actress, and it's a shame that social media was intended for the good. And now it's turned to this, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, we kind of knew it wasn't. The writing was on the wall, and it's a very dangerous thing, or it can be a dangerous thing as well, obviously. There's a whole bunch of talk now because Twitter, one of the biggest platforms, has been bought, essentially, or is in the process of that, by, you know, the world's richest man. I think he's pretty much up there, if not the richest. And so one person will literally be able to control, because that's what it is. It's a broadcasting platform.
Right.
That's why people in entertainment and show business love it. For me, I'm going to get off of Twitter, most likely. I don't feel comfortable. I don't even hardly feel comfortable with Facebook either. You know, so much. I'm not a big social media. We're going to save that for another conversation. But coming soon on the Coffee, Tea, and Conversations, we definitely will circle back to those social media discussions. I've got to say, this has just been, I'm in shock. First, I want to take a moment before we kind of take everybody to our next segment, but I want to take a moment to talk about the incredible success that you guys have had with Vet Talk Radio. We couldn't have you here without talking about VTR.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is, I like this too. It's a little bit more, I guess, because Vet Talk, we're always so wound. We have just a finite number of minutes to get things across. And so we're very tight on time over at the VTR show on Tuesdays at 8:30. But here, mid-show and live every day, really, that we're here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, we've created this Coffee Tea Conversations. So, Michael Hopkins, the host, the illustrious host of the Vet Talk Radio Show, what do you have to say about joining us mid-show when you can drop by for Coffee, Tea, and Conversations?
Oh, Carrie, it has been a blast. I mean, it's fun. And the reason why it's fun for me is because it's kind of taken me out of my comfort zone. That's what I enjoy about it. It's taking me out of my comfort zone.
Awesome.
I just got a little something funny there, real quick. The first time you said VTR, the first time I heard you say that, I was saying to myself, gee, I wonder what show that Carrie's talking about.
That talk radio.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't getting it. It was like zip right on my head.
That is funny.
But I enjoyed it. I love getting on here with you guys, man, you know, with the angels. And you know, we're talking real world, real stuff. And, you know, I just love it. I really do. I love it.
Awesome. I don't know if Nur Jahan can top that. Nur Jahan, what about you? What do you say about the new Coffee, Tea, and Conversations on the Hair Radio Morning Show that you guys get to drop by whenever your schedule allows?
Yeah, I'm like Michael. It's fun. You know, it's a lot earlier than we have to be on Vet Talk Radio, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
Because of the conversation and because I believe that knowing before we talk about it, it also helps by, you know, having the information already in hand. Because if I wouldn't have read the article before we got on here, I would have been totally lost. So
well, we wouldn't have come to you at all.
But
yeah,
we
would have. We would. Let me just say this for everybody's benefit.
We don't always know what we're going to talk about. That's the idea, because we're also looking to get, you know, real expressions, of the moment, how folks weigh in. That's the idea. So often we do have an opportunity to put one of the big focuses of the conversation. That's why we share that out. And I do the same for the fans. It's on our social media already this morning so that everybody knows what we're going to be the main crux of our conversation. But then we have other sidebar convos going on and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And we want to know an impromptu response. That's what we're looking for as well. So we're happy that you guys are happy and that you are making your contributions. We appreciate it. We do. Nicole, what do you have to say about all this? How do you like coffee, tea, and conversations?
I absolutely love it. It's fun. It's exciting. Different people weigh in their comments about different things. And I actually like a combination of knowing in advance what we may talk about and then also the whole impromptu. That makes it fun, too, because you get people right on the spot and, you know, hear what they have, what they think about the topic. But I love it.
And
I enjoy it very much.
You do. Wow. Well, I think it covers both. And I think and that's the idea. And we've done this kind of thing before, but I think it's great to have it for you guys, for the Vet Talk folks to be able to come on, because it gives people a little bit more time to learn who you guys are. And I think that's really nice. Plus, I think your commentary was on point today. I really do. I would have never thought the points that you raised would have, you know, been something that would have dropped in my mind. And same with Otto. great point. Everybody's just bringing it. So I think the conversations are going to get stronger and stronger mid-show, you know, as often as you guys can be part of this conversation. So I'm just excited. I really am. It's a great pleasure and honor to have you guys with us. And it just means a lot. Now, let me Let me add on these quick announcements, folks. And, you know, I know you guys got to go, so I'm going to send you guys off. But first, I wanted to make sure you were aware of this. We're live, folks, out there this morning. If you're just joining us right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm loving this. It's Wednesday morning. It's April 27th of 2022. And it's our show number 705, 705 shows. And it's a new mid-show. Yes. Ooh, that's a lot, 705. Whew, goodness. We're marching towards 1,000 show. So that's going to be quite a bit as well. Yes, quite a bit. We've been marching. Yes, we have. You know, real excited. So now Coffee, Tea, and Conversations is this new live mid-show think of. It's not even a think tank. It's more like a coming together of the minds. And and this is where we want you to say what, you know, honesty. You know, it's okay. You can give it a thumbs up. You can give it, I think, two cones, a hair pick, a brush, whatever you'd like. That's what this is all about, right? Yeah, so I'm super, super hyped about it. Want to remind everybody what's happening with Upscale. We have a brand new 24-hour, 7-day-a-week radio network called Upscale Magazine Radio.com. Let me say that again. Yeah. Upscale Magazine Radio.com. What I love is that I put there the scrolling content. So it'll scroll across the screen. It'll tell you specials and things that you'll hear on this incredible, beautiful radio network. Simply go to the website at upscalemagazineradio.com. Now, if you happen to go to Upscale Magazine, of course, we love Upscale Magazine. You'll also be able to connect to the radio network. Lots of stuff. You guys are going to be somewhat heard through our content at the Hair Radio Morning Show, because what I'm honored to say is that the Hair Radio Morning Show, you're not just hearing it on Blog Talk. You're not just hearing it on our own 24-hour, 7-day-a-week hair streaming radio network at HAIRadio.com, but we also have different content playing over at Upscale Magazine Radio. .com, and it's on right now. So real good stuff. So that's one of the big things I wanted to make sure. So what do you guys think about that?
That's awesome.
Great. Is that not
great,
nice,
great.
Nora?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm super hyped about it.
Yeah
it's some
it,
good
Gary.
Stuff. Yeah, me too. I've got, I'll be working with the folks at Upscale. We've got some incredible interviews on the way. We've got some programming. I'm looking to start a morning show over at Upscale Magazine Radio. So we'll be looking at all of that. Yeah, lots of good stuff is on the way. I'm very honored. I really am. I love working with them. They've been incredible. In August, they're celebrating like their 34th year. Well, they're celebrating at the Bronner Brothers show. So if you go to upscalemagazineradio.com, I make sure there that you can connect to everything. You can click on the tab and read about Upscale Magazine. You can click on a different tab and go to the Bronner Brothers show. And all of that. So August is the Bronner Brothers show down in Miami. So I'm looking forward to skipping on down there for that. And we'll do some coverage.
Wow.
So, yeah. Well, we've got a lot going on. So listen. What was that, Noor?
A different environment, going from New York to Florida.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
Different weather
change. Yeah, well, I was, when I worked in management for one of the budget airlines, they were based down in Miramar, Florida, so I had to go down there and stay in the Fort Lauderdale area. But I used to travel to Miami for decades as an airline person, plus just to go fly down to get away. I love Florida. I love South Florida. Love it. So real good stuff.
Miami's
so
the best.
Yeah. South Beach, you know, speaking of South Beach, really? Oh, you guys got to go.
Yeah,
South Beach.
Oh,
my. Wow. Okay, we cannot have a conversation. No, we're going to have to get you to Miami. Listen, let me tell you, South Beach is beautiful, and it's not that expensive compared to New York, that is. It's not that expensive. But what I love about it, you guys remember Johnny Versace, of course, the famed designer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember, I don't know if you heard about this, but Johnny,
he
was killed. But you know what?
Yeah.
His mansion was right there on the beach. So when I would go to
South Beach,
you'd walk right past this gate. I mean, literally, right there past his front steps. And I would go hang out at the little restaurants there on South Beach. It was just an amazing time. So, yeah, talk about the 90s. It was a heyday. It really was for creativity and all that kind of stuff. So those were the times.
Yes, I do remember that story because the man was on the run, and then it was hiding out. He was dressing as a woman.
Oh, and you're talking about the killer,
the human guy.
They made a TV, they made some kind of movie about it and the whole thing, and just a sad story. It was a crazy story, and we still don't know all at least I don't know all the pieces to it, but I feel sorry for the world that lost this incredible man who was a great designer.
Yeah, he was amazing.
He was awesome. Wow. Well, Michael, we're going to have you. It's called G to the double O G L E. So you got to let your fingers do the Google So that's how, but a lot of this, that's what the Hair Radio Morning Show is also about, Michael, because we have conversations on, we call them convos over here, and it's all about getting, you know, learning, it's because that's what this is about. So we'll introduce you to some of this. We don't expect you to be the man, you know, of all media, but that's what Hair Radio does. We're going to have these conversations. Yeah. And some you will know about, and some you may not. But you will definitely, the things that you don't know, you'll learn right here.
I guess I'll just have to Google the movie and see the guy that's dressed as a woman. I mean, wow.
Well, there's really some other details with the story. Yeah, actually, it's a lot more to it. Yeah, it's a lot more to it. So do check it out when you can. And that was, the Johnny Versace story. His sister, Donatella, has been leading the famed fashion house since then and all those incredible models and all that kind of stuff. So all that's out there is all out there for public consumption. So listen, I just want to say thank you. Tuesday, Michael Hopkins and the Angels, we're shouting out Katrina, your third angel, who will be with us back on Tuesday, of course, and we're always shouting her out as well. She's a great part of the show, and we miss her today on the broadcast with Michael and the Angels joining us mid-show today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And this, again, is coffee, tea, and I'm still, the jury's still out a little bit on that name, but I think it's okay. Coffee, tea, and conversations. We'll see. All right, Otto. It's got a ring to it?
Yeah,
okay.
It's got a ring to it.
Yeah.
I like the ring.
Yeah, I
like that ring tone.
Yeah.
What do you all think?
Okay, wow.
I like it. I think, Carrie, what does everybody think? I think Carrie Hines of Hair Radio has done another home run. What do you guys think?
Well, there you go.
I agree.
There you go.
Totally agree.
Coffee, tea.
Yep.
All right. Well, okay. Listen, guys, thanks so much for being with us. We're off tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. We'll be back on Tuesday for the next live show. So we got a little bit longer to go here this morning, and then we're on a production break for 2 days. We'll be working on amazing new content, booking new guests, getting some brand new songs, all that wonderful good stuff. I've got some surprises you are going to be shocked about in the coming weeks, so I'm real happy about that. So, so we've got more to go this morning. We're going to, keep things moving along. I've got some great songs and stuff on the way. We've got some more talk and all of that. But first, I'm going to have Otto to take us to the break this morning.
Thank you, Curry. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of the Hair Radio Morning Show with Curry Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? Not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful and, moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media, where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. Awesome. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Are you a god in a prison? Coming soon. Don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Bond of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
I don't think I've ever had that happen before. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I literally couldn't find my own microphone button, which you guys, if you know Blog Talk, it's hilarious. Out of all the people on the show, I couldn't even get myself on the air. That was funny. Never had that in 30 years. Listen, just real, real happy to have you guys with us this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're live. It's Wednesday morning, April 27th of 2022. Lots to still get into. I really wanted to kind of weigh in a little bit on and talk a little bit more about entrepreneurial. Wonderful commentary this morning or comments from you guys. Listen, after the show, this is what happens, and I'm going to put a little bit of this out on blast. I had a quick talk yesterday. You know how as an entrepreneur, sometimes things, you know, it's great when it's great, but when it's not great, it ain't so great. So are there things that you do as an entrepreneur that you can really, you know, say, you know, is it a little, how do you keep your spirits high when the pennies or the quarters or the dollars are not trickling in as much as you'd like them to do, or they are just trickling in and you need more? So are there things that you do to keep your spirits high? So that's what I really wanted to kind of get from the folks this morning and weigh in on entrepreneurial type stuff. Like there's this thing I posted the other day, and it's something that says to the effect of, you know, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur until they are asked or that they're doing what entrepreneurs have to do. And then that quickly, that tune changes. So I'm going to ask my right hand on-air contributor, and brand new star of the Hair Radio Morning Show, my amazing co-star, Otto from South Jersey. Otto, you are an entrepreneur. You run a commercial painting business in the South Jersey area. And so I'm turning to you. So what do you have some tips that you can share with everybody about how you make it on through on those tough days?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I know you experience them. I experience them. I'm sure all entrepreneurs do. It is a journey in self-discovery, basically, how tough you are and how strong you can be in the toughest times. Things don't go right.
And I don't mean to laugh, Otto.
I have
to tell folks. I'm chatting with Mr. Otto. As you guys know, we work on the show. We work on the show behind the scenes, what, every day, Otto, pretty much. So I remember, I'm on the line, I'm just saying, oh, my gosh, I think I've just talked so much about every negative situation in the world. And and Otto's like, oh, you're closing up shop? I'm like, no. I got off the line, I just fell out. Listen, no. Are you kidding me?
I have bad moments for breakfast. Listen, I'm here for the long haul of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've already been, I've literally been doing this since 1995. I've had more ups and downs than I could ever count. I remember when I first started in the 90s, I won't name the company, but their first name, their name begins with the letter R, and they run a company in downtown Newark, New Jersey. They had promised me over $10,000, and back in the 90s, this was a lot of money to promote them and this and that. And they literally ducked out on their offer and this and that. And then I ran into them at the big Bronner Brothers show, and at that time it was in Atlanta. And they, you should have seen the marketing folks who had, I'd been to their office. We worked out all this stuff, and just a lot of disappointments along the way. That's nothing. That's nothing.
No.
But at the same time, I got thousands and thousands of dollars and from folks helping us to get started and launching us. I represented a whole bunch of other brands. So those hard times, they happen, but I don't think they stay with you. You know, I've never forgotten it, but they don't really stay with you in that way. The good times do. And
right.
So, right, Otto?
Yeah. Well, I think you're so right, is when you have a situation that goes south, basically, next time and you're, you know, in a conversation with the next client and or customer in my company, you know, something will pop in your head like, ooh, I heard that before. And, it makes you learn. You have to learn, you know, through the bumps. But then it helps you avoid the future bumps. You can walk away. You can say, you know what, I appreciate, you know, but I think I'm going to pass. You know, and I've had situations you know, like.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like we spoke earlier, risk-reward, you know. You know that it's going to be a risk. Maybe you're not going to get paid. So is reward worth it? Yes, you need the money, but at that time, probably best to walk away. There'll be other work coming your way, you know. So go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You approach it.
Oh, no, go ahead. No. Oh, I approach it with, you know, an open mind. And if I feel, you know, we all have intuition. And if I feel that there's something that could down the road go awry, I pretty much say thank you. And, you know, maybe you need another company or, you know, some other type of representation, because I'm only doing that for self-preservation. You know, but I just, you know, after years of getting your knocks, and then there's a lot of positive. I mean, there's a lot to it, but you'll learn, you know, people will learn, and you go in and you think everybody's like you, a good person. And sometimes.
Okay.
You know,
well, I love that, Otto. And that is a great attitude. Speaking of this very topic, I've got a surprise visitor this morning. Who is standing by. She doesn't know I'm going to bring her on right now. She is a new business owner herself. You guys heard her commercial just a little while ago right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I just love to talk. I'd love to chat with this lady. She's been phenomenal, and she's just a breath of fresh air. So we are happy to welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show, our surprise of the week. We're talking about the one and only Shanta. Shanta Love, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Oh, there's Otto, your buddy Otto, Shanta.
Good morning.
Yes, I love this conversation about entrepreneurship. In this land of the elite, that is the best circumstance. For those of you that don't know, I'm African American, and I was educated originally at Tuskegee University, and that's one of the first things they teach you is become an entrepreneur. You are here because you need an entity that can feed you and your family, but moreover, so that you could carry on a legacy. And that was the first book that we were read, that we were asked to read as freshmen, the legacy, the stolen legacy I think it was by Frederick Douglass himself. But Tuskegee was founded in 1881. So we were just coming out of slavery then. So that was big to have your own. At that time, it was called Tuskegee Institute. Later on, it grew into Tuskegee University. And they, you know, it's a black Ivy League school. And we were taught become entrepreneurs. But that message is very hard to get in into some folks' heart. You know, I'm an entrepreneur now, and it's a little scary the first year. But if you keep on
That's what I was going to ask you. How do you feel about this? Because this is is a tailor-made topic for you.
But you have to believe in yourself, and if you're providing a service, always do your very best and be impeccable. Only speak words that are positive and uplifting and edifying to your company. Otherwise, it's really hard to make it if your self-talk is not positive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you sound like you've been around a long time with this. Because guess what? You've got the right attitude, Shanta. You've got the right attitude.
And then, too, I have the attitude of folks that surround me, such as yourself, and you're always uplifting, and you always have a
positive
word. And moreover, you have insight. Like, honey, no.
Thank
Come back
you.
This way. That's not the right way to do it. And when you have steer you in the right direction. Sometimes things that don't make sense make sense if you have the proper nurturing.
Yes. This is true. Well, I have to tell you, and just on that note, I've been out there a long time. And so, yeah, we're going to have days where, you know, we need somebody to, what is that called when you get things off your chest? I forget what, you know, you need to kind of voice things. You're not mad,
vent.
But you got to just get it. Yes,
vent.
V-E-N-T.
Vent. Yes.
And so we all need to do that. And I don't know one entrepreneur who does not vent from time to time. So, yes. And so, Otto, I'm raising my hand. I'm one of the biggest venters out there. So, yes, when you hear me vent, I am not closing up shop. I am not. Okay, there's no, what is a fat chance of that? No, I'm here for the long haul of the Hair Radio Morning Show. If I've made it 700 shows, that tells you right here and right now. No, I love that. The same way that we all have those moments, we have great joy that you can only get from being an entrepreneur. That's why I think most of us sign up for this. That's exactly why we sign up for it. We want the independence of being our own bosses. And there's a lot to say about that. Some folks make better entrepreneurs than others. I think most entrepreneurs are usually good leaders.
I
think they are. What do you think about that, our guest Shanta? What do you think? Do you think that that usually entrepreneurs are great leaders and maybe in their homes and their, you know, whatever else they got going on and little jobs and things? Do you think that, what do you think, Shanta?
I believe so, but leadership is cultivated. So to be a leader, you have to be around leaders. But what I found, and currently I read this book called The Four Agreements. And the first one is to speak impeccable, meaning speak without sin, only speak positive words. The second one is don't take anything personal. Third one, don't assume anything. And the fourth thing, always do your very best. When you're doing this.
Wow. Hold it. What's that book again? I love that.
It's called The Four by Ruiz.
Okay. We need to get that book.
Yeah.
It's heaven. Because, you know, being in business, it's scary. So nobody gives you a time clock to punch. So when you're in business, you get up early in the morning, and you don't go to sleep until the work is done. And when you're working for yourself, nobody has a paycheck for you, and nobody has health insurance for you. So you have to figure out all those things as you go along. So
That's right.
Leadership is something that's built each day. And if you're an effective leader, automatically, you know, customer service is key, especially if you're providing anything that's handmade or food items or even
anything really, Shanta. It's all customer service.
Right. And then
of
too,
some sort.
If you don't have leadership qualities, it's kind of hard to have the autonomy to stay in business.
True.
To put yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
And
you're pretty much going to be out of business real soon if you don't have good leadership qualities and you're running a business.
Yeah.
And also, how you stand is how people perceive you. So if you're coming into contact with your client face-to-face, it's always important to have good posture, good eye contact. And I'm a woman. I believe in a soft handshake because I'm feminine. But for a man, have a strong handshake and that eye-to-eye contact is always good. And those are the things that make good leadership skills and postures and countenances. And it's all about your countenance because that's how people perceive your excellence. And, you know, in current days, people take, you know, shortcuts. This is the microwave society where everything is done quickly.
Yes.
But when you business for yourself, the devil is in the details.
Yeah, yes. Shanta, go ahead and preach this morning. Listen, if you guys have just joined us, you're listening to a live edition on this Wednesday morning of the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and we've been doing a pretty good job today. It really has. We've had some amazing folks to today. It's our 705th show on Wednesday, again, April 27th of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. We have been chatting, of course, my right-hand man, Mr. Otto, O-T-T-O.
Yeah.
You guys know Otto. He's been with us a little time now. He's getting up, racking up some we call some hours on the air, and I'm so happy about that. You've been doing a great job, Otto. And
thank you so much.
Well, pretty much by Otto, I want to say we're welcoming an incredible, wonderful lady, as you guys have heard. You can hear how she's making it today. Success is definitely on the horizon for this wonderful, wonderful lady. She's been just doing an amazing job out there. You've heard her commercial right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're, of course, talking about Shanta. And Shanta, it's time to turn to you. So I want to remind the folks, first of all, Organic Love Collection, we cannot say it enough. They've heard the commercial play right here on the broadcast. Now it's time, Shanta, we want to find out, what can you tell us about Organic Love, and I love the word live, collection this morning. Okay,
well,
did I give the live the right amount of...
Yes, love.
Okay.
First and foremost, everybody has a calling in life, and my calling was nursing. Originally, when I started out, I thought I was going to be a big-time international lawyer, but God had other plans for me and made me into a nurse. And, you know, if you're educated, sometimes it takes a longer time for you to formulate a family because you're busy trying to get everything, you know, settled as far as education, licenses, and trying to get your career off the ground. So I had my daughter in my 30s. Most American women have their daughters or their children by 27.
Early,
so I started a little late. And guess what? When I had my daughter, I was already a nurse, and I knew the nuances of newborn skin. And my baby went into a horrible episode of eczema at 4 months when it's time to start taking in, like, small amounts of cereal, small amounts of pureed fruit. And I had been giving her organic food, but nonetheless, it was a processed organic food. And it gave her this food allergy, and it was eczema. And I didn't know what to do. And as a new mother, I started that circular process of let me put this on it, let me put that on it. And I would go circular, only to find out that that made it worse. So my doctor begged me, please don't give this child any steroids. Let's try natural things. And I came up with my shea butter. I started off with three ingredients, which were shea butter, mango butter, and I think at that time cocoa butter. And I melted them and mixed them together, and she began to have healing. And as we went along, the ingredients grew. I have 11 natural ingredients, 11 natural organic food grade ingredients in it. And she's 10 now. And guess what? No more eczema.
Oh,
for Mother's
wow.
Day. Yes. So exciting. For
that
Mother's
is amazing.
Day, for mothers that call me, if they're on vacation and if they have an emergency breakout, I send out the product next day service, and I've been getting feedback that my product, my current product, heals baby eczema in 3 days. It heals adult
wow.
eczema within 5 to 7 days. And moreover, eczema comes with discoloration. So not only does it take
yeah,
the itchy,
right.
crusty sugar cookie effect, but it also
yeah.
begins to moisturize you so that your natural skin tone is restored. And eczema can be very devastating to the psyche. It can make your self-esteem dry.
I think
right.
so. I mean, it's just horrible. It looks awful. And I hate to see kids with it, you know, anybody really. But it's just anything is always tougher for them to navigate, you know, being so young. But, Shanta, I have to also say, nobody can say shea butter better than Shanta.
No.
Well, organic shea butter, you can put it in your hand.
You can, wow, you can say it. Shanta, you know, you make it sound
butter.
So good. Well,
no,
you just
sensual.
Make it sound so good.
And
wow.
when I get new clients, and I say new clients because my customers quickly turn into clients and they're lifelong,
yes.
I tell them, this is a sensual product. And once they
all
feel
right.
it, they say, oh, my. And I have to take a deep breath to tell them all that's in it.
Oh,
so I put shea butter in
wow.
it, maple butter, coconut oil, castor oil, black Jamaican castor oil, vitamin E, jojoba oil, hallelujah, so many beautiful oils. And if you do your very best, once again, you know, your company
organic
will grow.
Organic love collection.
Organic
love
collection. Sensual shea butter.
Collection.
And I also offer
awesome.
A liquid version.
Really?
Yeah, I offer a liquid version. And that's what makes it exciting as well. Matter of fact, it's so hot, I hear fire engines in the background passing by. So at any rate,
yes.
my liquid
yes.
version.
Well, here in New York, like, same
right.
thing. I have the fire engines. I live right near the hub. Do you know we've had folks and fans who have really listened and heard all that going by? I say they're not police cars. They're just or emergency vehicles. You know, my brother,
right.
God rest his soul, Donald, used to always tease me that those are the police in the background in Brooklyn. I said, no, they're not. You know, it's bad. It ain't that bad. So, but I have to say, Shanta, we just appreciate you here. And
sure
thank
do.
You for
oh, thank
taking the
you.
Time. Yeah, you
thank
are
you.
A person, you stick to what you say. And to be honest with you, I mentioned about being a leader. Well, that's what makes a leader a leader. And you've got it.
You.
You've got it in droves. And so I'm giving you the Hair Radio Morning Show seal of approval this Wednesday
it's
morning.
It's an honor. It's an
oh,
honor
well,
to
it's,
speak with you. And
you're very kind.
You're just so saturated with intelligence and information, and you put it forward so matter-of-factly. But some of the things I hear you talk about are so evolved. I'm like, wow, this is really an in-depth conversation. But you are awesome. Yes.
Thank you. Well, I'm just
I
grateful.
Just awesome. And then you are awesome. You are awesome. And just thank you for
you're
having
so
me.
So kind. Well, it's a pleasure. It really is. And I love that you drop by when you have time. You just, you know, I'm in the neighborhood. I'll just drop on in, you know, and see what Otto's doing and what Carrie's doing on the show this morning. And we appreciate it. We run your Organic Love collection here. We always run that commercial. We want folks to know who you are. And so we're going to get it on at this time before we sign off this morning, and we'll be back for our wrap-up. So I'm sorry, but
thank
I've got to get you on again because you know what I love? This is and to have you here live is great, Shanta. But I love how you start. I have a product, you know. It's so wonderful. We just love it here. So I love how you start your commercial. So folks, stay with us. We've got a closeout this morning in just a few. Shanta, thanks again. You are just awesome. We're gonna play you off right now with your old commercial.
I have a product for Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs, so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media. We're a business that's just starting out, so I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. Awesome. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
OrganicLoveCollection.BigCartel.com.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Hair Radio. Don't you love that, Otto? I just love that. Yes, listen, it's been an awesome day. It really has. We're going to miss you for a couple days. We'll be back on Tuesday of next week with a brand new show, brand new all kinds of things, new topics and all of that. But you don't have to miss us so much, because you can go to our 24-hour streaming network, morning, noon, or night at www.hairadio.com. You'll also, you guys, visit Upscale's 24-hour network, too, at upscalemagazineradio.com. All kinds of different things. So, Otto, thank you so much. You've been doing a great job. Every day you knock it out of the park. Every day.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll see you back here next Tuesday morning, starting 6, live early in the morning. We're going to get our outro on. Make it an awesome, awesome Wednesday morning. Make it a great Wednesday. We just did here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Thanks again. Here's the outro.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at fixyourfeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has